All right, and very good morning to you, and very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And to apologize for that little bit of a technical. Okay, good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's the second day of the week, Tuesday morning, the 27th of January. The year is 2025. So welcome to Eagle FM, the number one talk radio station.
The 27th of January, the year is 2025. So welcome to Eagle FM, the number one talk radio station.
The 27th of January.
All right. We welcome back. As I said, thanks. There was just some technical technical issues, and then we sort them out. So welcome back, and thanks for joining us this morning. And we're coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines, and we keep it clear. And always curious and asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. And our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of 8. And as we normally do here, we start. We're looking at the day. We're looking at, you know, on this day in Africa. So good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. Today, we turn the pages of our shared history to find moments of courage, of tragedy, of power shift, and the sound of freedom. So all happening on this very day across the different years. Now, let's start our journey back in 1914 in the Orange Free State in what is now, you know, South Africa. So on this day, a group of courageous black and colored women took a brave stand. You know, they delivered a petition protesting a law that forces them to carry a special passes. Now, just to leave and move freely. That's they protesting. They just wanted to leave and move freely. So it was humiliating system of control. So their action was an early and powerful fight for basic human dignity, and fight that would echo for decades to come. So now, let's fast forward to a much more recent and heartbreaking event. The year is 2002. The place is Lagos, Nigeria. Now, on this day, a massive, massive explosion at military armory send the shockwaves through the city. Now, the blast was terrifying, and it caused a huge panic. So in the chaos that followed now, over a thousand people actually lost their lives. Now, many of them, while actually trying to escape the danger with their family, fell into a nearby canal and drown. So it remained one of the darkest and most tragic days in Nigerian history. And our story takes another 10 on this day in 1996, this time in the Western African nation of Niger, not Nigeria, Niger. So, and it was A day of dramatic political change, a military leader, Colonel Ibrahim Barre Mainassara, seized power in a coup. It's a typical style in the Western Africa, you know. So he took over the country from its democratically elected president. So it was a stark reminder of the political storm that have swept across part of our continent, especially in West Africa, shaping the destinies of millions. So, but our history isn't just about struggle and politics. It's also filled with hope, art, and music. And for that, we go back to 1960. Now, during the negotiation for the Congo's independence, a new song was actually played for the very first time. Now, it was called Independence Cha-Cha-Cha. Independence Cha-Cha. Now, this song, it wasn't just a tune. It was an anthem. It was an anthem. So it captured the excitement and the spirit of a continent ready to be free. So the song quickly spread across Africa, becoming a joyful soundtrack to independence movement everywhere in the continent. So that's all for the segment on this day in Africa. Join us again tomorrow as we continue to explore our rich and complex history and stories. So welcome, welcome. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you. And we are happy to have you in our company. So when we come back, we'll look at on the thought for the day. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So very welcome back. And good morning to you. And Tuesday, January the 27th, the thought for the day. What is our thought for the day this morning? However long the night, the sun will rise. However long the night, the sun will always rise. Now this proverbs means that no hardship lasts forever. No matter how dark, painful, or prolonged, difficult period may feel, change and relief are inevitable. So it reassures people that hope, renewal, or opportunity will return, just as morning always follows night. Now, the proverb reinforces a world that values endurance and collective hope rather than despair. So, whatever you decide today, make sure that, you know, you're full of hope. You're full of hope that, you know, change and relief is inevitable. So however long the night, the sun will rise. That's our thought for the day. So good morning and welcome. So it's a very beautiful morning because it has rained a little bit. I tend to believe that in some part it might have rained much better than in my area. So, yeah, it drops a little bit in Ongwediva, not that much, but yeah. So, but this morning there's a bit of a cool, cloudy, you know, weather. I need to go and learn my weather way of speaking about the weather. So, but it's a nice cool and weather, you know, nice cool and, you know, partly cloudy. With a cool breeze, and yeah, it make a good morning so far. So hopefully it has rained, or, you know, the weather have at least improved or changed. It has been hot over the past week, really. It hasn't been pleasant at all. All right. Stay tuned. After this, we'll come back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's right. The U in UNAM is definitely you. So welcome. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for joining us here on Eagle FM. Hopefully you remain connected to Eagle FM. And if you don't, well, stay connected with Eagle FM anywhere, anytime. So whether you are, wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM website. You can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM. You could be in the office and then you just listen through Eagle FM website or Eagle FM mobile app. So you can download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Store on the app. There are so many. There are podcasts. There are podcasts. There are news. There are updates. There are, you know, schedules of different shows. There's vacancies sometimes. And that's also for you as a young person. You must actually download that because, you know, you can always look up to see if there's a vacancy there for you. Political party manifests, they are still there. There are a lot and lots of reports from different institutions. If you get actually one updated on financial or economic report. So that's a place to go. That is a place to go. Make sure that you connect it. One with Eagle FM and download the app. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today, well, that is a very interesting. What do we have actually? What are we going to talk about this morning? What are we going to discuss? So what are you going to be part of this morning? So there is a very interesting piece by Intermit. Gill, this is a chief economist of the World Bank Group. So he has written a piece that's very, very, very interesting. And it's looking at that the greatest impediment to global trade today is not tariff. So it's not tariff, but non-tariff measures, you know, the surge in non-tariff measures. That is the biggest the impediment to global trade, particularly technical standards. So that's what we're going to look at. And I can tell you, it's a very intriguing, you know, way of looking at this. And stick with me, stay with me, that we are going to unpack that. And it's very, very, very interesting. So make sure that you unpack that with me. And if we still have time, which we probably will have, so we're also going to look at in a direct challenge to China dominance. Now, the United States is actually hosting Africa's top mining nations in Washington. Now, the reason to do that is to forge a new partnership for securing vital mineral supply chain. So, well, are we part of that? Namibia is a mining company. Well, let's find out. So stay tuned and unpack this with me. So when we come back, we're getting into our first stories. Make sure that you are part of that. So good morning and welcome.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Well, Morokeni, Morokeni. Good morning, Namibia. Wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So where are you listening us from? Where are you listening us from? A very good morning to you. I hope you have a beautiful morning. As I do. I always have a beautiful morning. When I'm here, it's always beautiful. It's always beautiful. I love being in your company. All right. Good morning, Namibia. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike Osoveli. And welcome. Now, today, we are going to unpack an article or a piece by Idamit Gill. I hope I'm pronouncing his name, Idamit Gill. He is the chief economist of the World Bank Group. Now, basically one of those, you know, one of the top economic minds watching how money and good move around the planet. So it's coming from someone who knows really what he's talking about. Now, he's written something that should make every Namibian, maybe every African, you know, sit up and really, really, really pay attention. And hopefully, you know, you gonna pay attention because this is very, very, very interesting. All right.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ompito mbwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandito ma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahi tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM.
So welcome back. All right. So now, as I said, we're going to look at this piece by Gill, who is actually a chief economist of the World Bank Group. Now, the overall, the article is looking at what is really killing global trade right now. Okay. What is killing the global trade right now? Before we go into that, maybe that's a question that I need to ask you. I said, I wish I normally have a class. It's like I'm a trainer, but also a profession. I do a lot of training. So that would like a question I would ask you from the very beginning for you also to think, what is killing trade, global trade right now? You quickly gonna probably say, tariff. Tariff is what killing the global trade right now. Wrong, not tariff. So, you know, those taxes, you know, tariff are those taxes government slap on import that politicians love to complain about, you know? So, yeah, those tariffs are actually going down. So they have dropped by nearly half since the mid-1990s, okay? So, because now, while the tariffs have been falling, so when tariffs have been falling, something else has been rising like crazy. And what is that? So that's what we're going to talk about. It's technical standard. It's technical standard. It's safety regulations, environmental rules. All those requirements, you know, all those requirements about how product must be made, how they must be tested, how they must be packaged, and, you know, and certified before they can actually cross the borders. That is actually killing the global trade. Did you thought of that? That's what killing the global trade right now. And we're going to go into that. So into that story in more. So because now Gill's argue this before we get into it, really argues this. And I'm giving you now just looking at from the very beginning. Now, Gill argues that these standards, not tariff, you know, have become the biggest drag on global trade. Now, they are multiplying like a, how would I call this? Something that is invasive as species. Okay. So they're really multiplying like invasive species, and they are hitting countries like Namibia, especially hard. They're hitting us very, very, very hard. So we're talking about rules that can completely block your product from reaching the market, from reaching the US market. So tariff make your product more expensive, and rules, maybe technical standards, safety regulations, environmental rules, those ones are the ones that can completely block your product from entering the border, from crossing the borders. So it is not tariff. And now, bigger countries, you know, so the powerful countries use that, you know, to control the trade. So today we are going to break this down. We look at what these standards really are, because they are also, believe me, they are affecting Namibia. So, and some of these regulations have just been passed, you know, not long time ago. We're going to look at those ones. Why have they exploded? And how they are affecting Namibia. How that they are affecting Namibia exporters right now, and what, if anything, we can do about it. So that's what I'm giving the outline so of what we're going to look at. So make sure that you grab your coffee, your tea, your milk, your juice, or whatever. Settle in. If you're in the office, just settle in. Let's get into it together. So because understanding this stuff, it might just be the key to understanding why Namibia's economy works the way it does. So, and what we need to do or what we need to change to compete in the world. So, you the lawmaker, if you are there, don't pass these stations, because this is going to help you to understand. Give you a broader, maybe you haven't met this, you haven't, you know, get across this story, these articles, and this idea help you really to have a different perspective, a different angle of how you look at this global trade. So, and that would help you maybe to make regulations and laws that are at the same level with the standard, with the international standard. So it's very important. Let's unpack this together. Let's do this together. Now, let me start with a story. Okay, picture this now, okay? This is very interesting. I want you to picture this. So it is the 1950s, okay? It is the 1950s. And during the 1950s, just imagine during the 1950s, moving goods around the world is chaotic. Imagine that in 1950s. Now, everything loaded by hand, you know, it is slow, expensive, thing gets stolen or get damaged. So it was just complicated. It was just chaotic. Then along comes this guy. You know, this guy is called, his name is Malcolm McLean. Malcolm McLean, with a ridiculous simple idea. Can you imagine that? A ridiculous simple idea. A big steel box. So, a big steel box, you know? So, a simple idea, that simple idea, a big steel box. Now, did you ever thought of that? It's a simple steel idea, and this is what's happening now all over the world. That steel box, that big steel box, changes many things. Changes how we do, you know, how do we do business?
Any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number
083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. It looks as we going off and on. We apologize for that. Okay, just welcome back. All right. So I was talking about that shipping container, that shipping container, when we talk about, when you're looking at that, when you compare that with, you know, global trade and as I said, that global trade, so it did more for global trade. That container itself, that shipping container did more global trade than actually decades of negotiations and treaties combined. Now, it made globalization cheap and faster. Suddenly, Namibian beef could reach Europe. You understand how that make it easy? Namibian beef could reach Europe, our mineral could get to Asia, and the world open up. The world has opened up. Now, but here's the twist. Okay, here is the twist. Now, today, something is pushing globalization backward. All right? So, something is pushing globalization backward. Most people think it's tariff. Well, according to a Gill, those taxes government slap on imports, and sure, tariffs are annoying. You know, they are annoying, and, you know, you wouldn't love it. You wouldn't love that being, you know, done to your product. So, but the real culprit, according to Gill, and that's what we're focusing on now, is standards, technical regulations, rules about how product should be made, tested, and certified. So that is the real culprit. Okay, that is pushing globalization backward. How does that? So, and listeners, more and more of the standards are being introduced all the time. So, now, let's break this down for you. Now, since 1995, when the World Trade Organization was established, average tariff rates have dropped by nearly half. Great news, right? So globalization is winning. Wrong, that's wrong, because while the tariff went down, non-tariff measures, mostly technical standard about product safety and the environment, went through the roof. Now, we're talking about rules that dictate everything from the thickness of electrical wiring, you know, yeah, from that thickness, that everything that dictate everything from that thickness of electrical wiring to pesticides deposit or remain on the vegetables. You understand? Everything. So now get this now. More than half of the 20,000 standard we live with today didn't actually even existed before the year 2000. More than half of the 20,000 standard we live with today didn't exist before the year 2000. Now, in 1991, the WTO received about 650 notification of the new technical rules. Last year, nearly 6,500. That's tenfold increase. Yeah, it's about tenfold increase. So, now, these standards now affect 90% of global trade. Now, if you compare that, you know, 3 decades ago, it was only just about 15%. So now these standards affect 90% of global trade. So what does this mean? Okay? What does this mean? It means a tariff. Now, if you look at the tariff, a tariff might make your product more expensive. But a standard can can actually block your product entirely. So at least for a while, until maybe you get a certification or until you satisfy or you do something so that you rectify that. So you can, I mean, you cannot sell it. I mean, you cannot sell if you don't comply. Eh? If you don't comply with the rules that has been set, you know, you can't sell your product. And compliance, that's where it gets, I think, very, very, very brutal. You know, that's where it gets really, really brutal and real. Now, Namibia, pay attention here, okay? I want you to pay attention. This is a very interesting, you know, and this is where it gets now personal, all right? Now, the article point out that higher-income countries, now, when we're talking high-income countries like your Germanys of this world, your Americas of this world, your Japans of this world, they are the ones writing most of these rules. So you remember, these are the countries that are actually writing the rules. And sure, some regulations, some regulations are genuinely about safety. Nobody wants a toxic toy or a contaminated food, you know. So, but here is the problem. Developing countries like ours are the ones getting hammered. We are the ones who are actually being hit by this. Why? Because we export the exact product that faces those, that faces the most standards. So think of the agricultural foods. Eh? Think of food that we import. Think of the raw materials. Our beef, our fish, our grapes. You know, every market we want to enter has a different rules. Every market we want to enter, it has a different rules. Europe wants one certification. America wants another. Asia wants something else, you know. Do you see that? So, and the cost of compliance, it's massive. The cost of compliance, it's really, really massive. Now, listen to this. To get certified that your product actually meet the international standard. Now, we're talking about developing country. You are looking at around $425,000 on average. $425,000. When you think, for most Namibian firms, for example, that's not expensive. That is impossible. It's not expensive. That's around about 6 million or so. It's already around 6 million. Okay. As I said, that's not expensive. That is impossible. Okay. So, and here's the concern. Okay. Now, can you put it that Ethiopia, for example, has fewer than 100 audit. Now, we're talking about now people who can certify a product to meet the International Organization for Standardization. So, now, Ethiopia has fewer than 100 auditors who can certify a product to meet the ISO standards. This is the International Organization for Standardization. Compare that to Germany. So, Germany has 12,000. So, German companies pay... Look here, German companies pay between 3,000 and 11,000, you know, $11,500 to get certified. So we pay nearly 425,000. That's nearly $500,000. Eh? That's nearly $500,000. And tell me now, you know, tell me. So how is that a level playing field? How is that a level playing field? Now, The Economist, I said Mr. Gill, so he's very careful. He's careful. He says standard aren't inherently protectionist. Okay? They are not inherently protectionist. They can give genuinely protection. You know, they can give genuine protect. They can genuinely protect health. They can genuinely protect safety, you know, and the environment. Now, so, but then he drops this little bomb. You know, he dropped this little bomb. Countries often tighten, and he said, country often tighten technical regulation right after they see a flow in imports. Now, I want you to think about that. Country often tighten technical regulation right after they see a flow in imports. Now, your domestic producer are losing market share because cheaper imports are flooding in. Okay? So what do you do? Okay? So what do you do? And this is what the countries are doing. What do you do? You can't raise tariff anymore because the WTO is watching. So you can't do that. You can't keep doing that. So instead, what do? You suddenly discover that those imports don't meet the newly revised safety standards. Problem solved. Foreign competition blocked. So you see how that this can be used, you know. Now, is that about safety? Could be, yes, to some extent. Or is it about protecting your own industries while looking like you care about the environment? I have a question here for you. Now, when a European supermarket reject our beef because of some obscure traceability standard, remember that? You know, is that really about food safety? Or is it about making sure French and German farmers stay in business? There's a game played here. And this is a different perspective looking at, this is a really different perspective, a very interesting one. So tell me what you think. So now I want us to get to Namibia so that we can understand this better. All right. Let's bring this home. Okay. I want you to understand because it's very important. So, and if you're the lawmakers as well, you know, pay attention. So Namibia, of course, Namibia is a small open economy. We depend on trade. We depend on trade. Our beef industry, our fishing sectors, our mining operations, they all need access to global market. All of this sector, they need access to global market. But we are not at the table where these standards get written. So we are not the one who are not the one who set the rules of how this should, even how we fish, how, if it comes to fishing, how we need to fish, what to fish, how to package, all that. We're not on the table of setting this standard or writing this standard. So we are not on that table. So now Gill points out that developing countries are seldom involved. That means they are not often involved when international standards are being drafted. We're not involved. Why? Sometimes it's not just because we sidelined, because lack of resources. I think something that David was also discussing on a different angle, but lack of resources, we lack expertise, and we lack the bureaucratic machinery that rich country actually sometimes take for granted. So because we lack those resources and expertise, we don't sit on, we are not involved in international standard when international standards are being drafted. So the rule get written without us, then we expect it to comply. Yeah. So it's like, what is the better good example. It's like showing up to a football match where the other team wrote the rule book, you know, and hired the referees. They wrote the rule book, they hired the referees, and gave themselves a head start, you know? So that's how it looked like. So you have absolutely have no any sort of involvement in the rules and how things goes. You just have to comply. If you don't comply, your product goes nowhere. So what can we do? The article suggests we need to build capacity gradually, train our own auditors, you know, align our national standard. And that's why I said, you know, lawmakers should come in. You should be listening, you know. So align our national standard with international norms. So eventually get a seat at the table where global standards are written. And that sounds nice. It sounds nice, but it takes time. Up to now, we are not there. We are not there. And that takes time and it takes money. It takes money. And while we are now building maybe the capacity, you know, because that's the question I was talking about that David asked, that do we have actually expertise negotiators that are really expertise negotiators? Eh? So while we're building that capacity, our exporters are getting shut out of market. So what do? We just got to comply. Eh? We just get to comply. So now, let me make this concrete with what's happening to Namibia right this minute, okay? So just recently, the European Union introduced something called the deforestation regulation, the EUDR, okay? The deforestation regulation. You probably have heard it, okay? It took effect on January 1st. Yeah, this year. It took effect on January 1st, 2026. Now, that less than a month ago already. So it's not a month yet, you know. Yeah. So what does it mean? Okay. What does it mean? If you are exporting beef, okay, this is what I said. And that's why I got actually interested in this. So this is what it means. If you are exporting beef, charcoal, kettle heats to Europe, you now have to prove that your product didn't contribute to deforestation. You know? Now you have to prove that your product didn't contribute to deforestation. Now, you need geolocation data. You need traceability system. You understand? You need traceability system. You need documentation showing exactly where your cattle graze. Where do your cattle graze? Okay? And where your charcoal actually came from. That's the regulation. That's the standard that now for us, when we are exporting beef or egg charcoal or cattle heaters. So that's what is expected. That's a rule. Now, is it protecting? Now, when you think of that, is it protecting forests a good thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, nobody's arguing against environment protections. Okay. But here's the question. Did anyone ask Namibian producers if, first of all, if this timeline was realistic? The rule was just given, the regulation was, standard regulation was just given to Namibia, but we were not given, you know, time or something, you know. This is now, anyone now who is exporting beef, charcoal or kettle heaters to Europe, this is the requirement. Make sure that your product don't contribute to deforestation. Good idea. Eh? Because we also don't want our places being deforested, you know? Now, that's the thing. Did anyone help us? The other thing is that did anyone help us build the system to comply? So we just needed to figure out ourselves. How do we then comply with that? And the thing is that our beef industry has been scrambling. So the Namibian Agronomic Union has been urging cattle farmers to prepare, but preparation takes time. It's not only that it takes time, but it also that it takes money. To do all that as well, it takes money. So, and guess what? The EU market is critical for us. That is very, very, very critical for us. So we got to do what we got to do. So in 2024, we shipped 13.2 million kilograms of beef to Europe. You see how that is critical for us. Out of 22.7 million total, that's how critical, you know, Europe is. So therefore, when they put up regulations like that, we just say, okay, how high are we jump? You know? That's more than half of our beef export. So, now, that's not all. Eh? It's not just the EU. Eh? America, for example, America just introduced a new seafood import rules under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Yeah? So, as of January 2026 also, again, yeah, just a week ago, any country exporting seafood to the United States must prove that their fishing method, now you see, their fishing method meet American standard for protecting the marine mammals like dolphins and seals. So you have to prove that. Those are requirements. The NOAA fisheries reviewed now the Namibian fishing industry. So the good news is our hake fishery just secured, I think not long time ago, it just secured its second marine stewardship council certification, the MSC certification. So that's actually good now, a major achievement. That's a major achievement. That's now kind of like we reach that international standard. And we have to. I said we are a trading country. Yeah? And we have to. But we don't make those rules. And the bad news that we still have gaps in marine mammal bycatch monitoring. So you remember, that's the story we even covered some of the other times. So we are working on it. Namibia is working on it. But until we fully comply, there is uncertainty about our access now to American markets. So you see how, you know, non-tariff measures can be, you know, can be worse than tariff. So talk of our fishing industry. Our fishing industry is our second biggest foreign currency earner, you know, after mining. So 90% of what we catch get 90% of what we catch get exported. Get exported. So we cannot actually afford to lose market access. We cannot, and therefore we just have to obey. Now, what is the cost of compliance? Okay? Now let's talk about the numbers now. Now, here's where it gets now personal for Namibian business, all right? So this now get really, really personal for Namibian business. So remember that figure from the article that the cost, an average of $425,000 to get export certification. So that one, that roughly, as I said, that roughly is 6 million Namibian dollar. Okay? Now, so now how many small scale farmers or fishing operators in Namibia have that kind of money lying around? Really? Eh? How many of our meat processing plant can absorb that cost without cutting jobs or maybe raising prices. As I said at the beginning, that's not expensive. It's impossible. Eh? And it's not just the direct cost. You need auditors. You know, you need testing facilities. You need people who understand the regulations and can help you now, help you to comply. So you remember the article mentioned Ethiopia has fewer than 100 auditors qualified to certify ISO standard. Now Germany has 12,000. I don't have the exact number for Namibia, but I can tell we are closer to Ethiopia than Germany. I think we are more closer to Ethiopia than Germany on the spectrum, you know. So German companies pay a few $1,000 to get certified. We pay hundreds of thousands. We pay hundreds of thousands. Then we are supposed to, and then we are supposed to compete on the same global market. Now you are supposed to compete with a German company that only pay 3,000, and you actually pay close to 6 million. Okay? And we are supposed to compete now on the same global market. Does that sound fair, really? Does that sound fair to you? Eh? Now, let me ask you, Namibia, okay? Now, at this standard, this is now, because these are standards that we remember where we come from, you know, we build this story, okay? Are these standards really about what they claim to be about? So when the EU suddenly require us to prove our beef production, it doesn't contribute to that, to deforestation. In a country that is mostly desert, mind you, you know, we are mostly in a country that is mostly desert. Yeah. So is that a genuinely about protecting, you know, rainforests? Or is it about creating a barrier that is easier for wealth countries now with advanced bureaucratic system to clear? Yeah? When America requires marine mammal monitoring system that costs million to set up, it will cost you million to set up. Is that about protecting dolphins? Or is it about giving their own seafood industry a competing advantage? Same thing with tariff, it's just different, you know? So, well, I'm also not saying environmental protection doesn't matter, okay? It does. So climate change is real, biodiversity loss is real, you know? But here's what I'm saying, right? And here's also what actually Gil's saying. If you genuinely care about global sustainability, you help developing countries, you know, build capacity. You don't just impose rule and walk away. Eh? So you provide funding, you provide technical assistance, you give us time to adapt. You write the standard with us, not for us. Because in this case now, they write standard for us. Eh? And not with us. Eh? So because right now, it feels like we are being to run a race where the starting line keeps moving further back. You know, at any time, it's actually moving further backwards. All right? So now, let me get to the caller quickly. And see, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
It's hard to follow, man. Sometimes you are on, you are off.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And like now, you are talking, then you break up a bit. That time, then now we have to change the channel also.
Oh, man.
Some of us, because we are diehard.
Yeah. We understand. It can become irritating. Yeah, I think it can become irritating. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
But what are we talking about?
Now, what we're talking about is that the Namibia is a trading country. We trade with European, with Americans. You know, and normally people think that the tariff has been the problems to trading. It becomes like that's become the problem to trading. But there's this article by Gill, which is actually saying it's not actually the tariff that is actually the problem to trading. It is actually the non-tariff, which is actually now the rules, the standard rule, the standard rule that are put in place. I was giving an example of deforestation by the European that when we export our beef, it should make sure that it doesn't contribute to the deforestation. It's a rule that if you don't follow, if you're not complying with the rule, your market, your product will not even enter those country. You understand?
Yeah.
So the tariff would make the product expensive, but the rules or the standard would actually completely cut off the product to move. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, and they said this is actually the biggest problem that actually keeps some of our product not entering some market in Europe and all because of the international rules and standards.
Yeah.
But the issue is this. But the issue now here is this. We don't make the rules. So the rules are made for us. We don't sit on the tables and make the rules. So
we just have to follow whatever they are saying.
The America is coming up with their own rules. Russia is coming up. China is coming up with their own. European are coming. We just need to obey. We all just need to obey. Yeah.
Just have to obey. Otherwise, come out, we suffer the consequences.
Exactly. Your product doesn't go anywhere.
But I'm wondering, Mike.
Yeah.
Before there was no money, how do Africans used to trade? Well, remember.
Yeah. No.
In long ago, even in Namibia, as a Bamboo people.
Yeah.
We used to trade between our animal and our harvest.
Yeah.
A traditional norm. So now it's all about the papers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see?
Now you see what the article also saying is that there was this guy McLean.
Yeah.
McLean came up with the idea. These steel boxes, the containers that we fit all our stuff and ship it anywhere in the world. That becomes easier for anyone, even a small country or even you as an entrepreneur. You can actually fill up a container and ship it to Japan or anywhere. You understand?
Yeah.
But now they realize then they actually have to put a control. What the control that they need to put up is actually the global standard. It's the technical standard. As long as it's now the rules about safety, the rules about environment, the product specifications, those are the things that now become a limitation of your product to enter market in the other countries. And those are put up deliberately, which are put up that you don't even involve. It's to control the trading.
Max?
Yeah.
This is sound familiar with Red Drive.
Exactly. You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Yeah.
It's about how you play the game.
Yeah.
Don't let the game play you.
It's absolutely, exactly. It's absolutely right. Because the meat of our cattle from here, they don't get, why don't we get dying? Why are we not dying? But there are this standard that are put up that, they don't meet this standard and whatever, but we eat them the same meat as whatever. But
exactly. Better than the one which
So the question is it about the mouth and disease? Is it about diseases or is it about, actually controlling the market, So exactly. That's a beautiful example.
Yeah. Somebody scared of the competition. And now, as African man,
yeah,
I see the game has been playing us for so long. Up to now,
yeah,
we never come to the table. Seriously.
Mm.
We just follow whatever they are saying. Look here, man. We are talking about even like our timbers.
Yeah.
People are talking about climate change, like the way we are doing it. I mean, like, they will tell you, no, you're having only have to be certain standard of this, and because the climate change and so on. But we are just contributing what? I think it's 5% or 3%.
Yeah.
African. Just imagine, the whole African.
Yeah.
But if you go to Europe, the way they are doing it, and now we forced to be paid environmental, what the environmental, what in big
standards, environmental standards and safety, yeah, and all those kind of stuff, yeah.
All those kind of things,
yeah.
Which is nothing to do with us. If you are talking about 5% or 3%,
yeah,
the whole Africa,
mm,
what are you telling us? And now,
okay, in the playing field, and the playing field is not actually leveled. We are paying so much, but the same companies in Europe are actually paying justly a smaller amount. To actually access the same market. You understand?
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Mm.
That's why I was like, I get pissed off, like, when you are paying, let me say now you are going to buy a tiny Bochan in Bochan.
Yeah.
You are paying double. You are paying Botswana, then you come and pay Namibia again.
Yeah.
That environment, what impact, what it takes. And it's high.
Mm.
We're talking about even one car is costing almost like a 2.7.
You see?
2,000K. Yeah. And they just imagine, how many of us are we shipping those cars?
Yeah.
Hmm? Mm. But the problem here is that we as African, we are suffering too much consequences. But I think this thing of theory which we are following.
Actually, it's the whole thing, when you're looking at this, one can design this technical standards, of this international, yeah, standard, to actually control who you trade with,
yeah,
and you remaining in that poverty status.
Well, forever.
Yeah.
Because how do you get out if you are, you're still having a lot of impact? You can, change every time.
Because, yeah,
you are trying to get out of there.
No,
they
change all the time. It have changed in Namibia. Those things have changed in Namibia. We have two rules that actually change. One from the European Union, one from America. The American one was that have introduced the seafood import rules, under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, where that now, When you are exporting seafood to the United States, must prove that your fishing method, just your fishing method, meet the American standard for protecting marine mammal like dolphins and seafood. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and if you don't meet those, if you don't do that, I mean, you're not enter their market. And Europe, you know, they put up that, they introduced that, what is that called? The deforestation regulation, you know?
Yeah.
Where that if you are exporting beef, charcoal, or what is that, or cattle heads to Europe,
yeah,
you now have to prove that your product didn't contribute to deforestation. You know, you need documents showing exactly where your cattle graze.
Oh my goodness!
You see, and we are not involved in those regulations. They are just given to us. Yeah?
I'm telling you, and the person who is making you those rules are the person who doesn't even have what a lion or elephant. And now he's coming up with those rules
exactly
to affect your market. You see, the thing is that we Africans, we are our own enemy, because the moment that we start looking outside, and I don't know what it is with our leaders, because we never, even now, like in Namibia, we come up with a term of what? Foreign what? Direct investment.
Yeah.
But nobody in earth would develop your country without extracting or what? Until you get, you learn out of your resource,
then
they go to their own country. Because why, what do you think why people are running away from Namibia? even themselves to find themselves in where they are trapped. Our boys were hot in
Maima.
Just imagine. What is making Namibia? We are just 3 point something. What is making Namibia to take that risk?
Yeah, of course. I mean, at this point in time, life is very difficult in Namibia.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, my friend. And it's just because of theory which we are following as a Namibian country. Because the moment we try to give our people a chance, they will come up with anything to interrupt our economy.
Yeah. I think we are not strategic enough. We absolutely not strategic enough.
We move from practical to theory. And this is what is killing us.
Yeah.
This is what is killing us. I remember last time there was a gentleman here in Igra FM. He produced oil in something more man getting. And then you know what? Even the minister himself is like, no, we tried this guy and then the standard. I said, standard for who? Which standard for who? What are you putting up a standard for who? If it's that one, it can just be oil for Namibian.
Yeah.
Our kids at a hostel, they can eat that oil. We as a consumer, we can eat that oil as Namibian people.
Yeah.
And if the people are require standard, when maybe you are sitting out.
And you know, do you understand now how this standards, technical standards actually can stop actually a product to get to market. Yeah. You understand?
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is what this guy actually saying, that no, don't, what tariff are not the issues. The non-tariffs, you know, measures are the problems, you know. Yeah, and we have no people. We don't have facilities to do this. We don't have expertise to do this. So and that's a problem. Yeah,
Michael, if you remember, there was something else. Was, no, we are, because some of us we like to complain, and then we look at the technical of the things.
Yeah,
like no, why we never found anything in this South African retailer from Namibia. Because we have people who are producing even nice biscuits here, chocolate, but they never get a chance. No, they are saying no, because they're backward. Just imagine, they're backward.
Yeah.
It's going to be from South Africa.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, come on, Namibia. Yeah. For the past 36 years, we are going to 10 for 6 years now. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. A backward is the one who's preventing us not to have. I know,
those standards, my very technical standards. Technical standards.
No. Yeah.
That's no, why this, guys. That's, it's very interesting, you know, this story. Yeah. Mm.
But the look of things, we need to rely on our people. Because the moment we are looking outside, we never go anywhere.
Yeah, no, but we have to be very strategic, seriously. We have this, you know, the problem when I'm saying we have to be strategic is this, you know, we have this tendency of saving, even politically, when we appoint people, we appoint based on royalties. You understand?
It's
not really the best you have for that specific job. You understand? And those are the things.
Yeah.
Even when I'm in a certain position, maybe. But your Tekulu is not the most qualified person. You just compromise the achievement that could have been, you know, come out of that, the output of that. Yeah.
Exactly, because now we are blocking the people who are having, we know how.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that kind of, or philosophy, you know, that I think is within us. And we need to learn how to really looking at, you know, how do we improve Namibia rather than how do we improve our own tummy? You know, how we fill up our tummy. Because the whole idea now, we're not looking at Namibia. We're looking at our tummy.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. That is, I think, is where we are getting wrong.
Yeah. That's it. Even the people that are knowledgeable, Sometimes I thought that when we said we don't expect, we have expert, but those experts are very selfish. They are selfish because they are the one they actually just do for themselves.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, they want what they only do what for themselves, not actually for what is uplifting
the country.
No, not at all.
This is a problem I have in Namibia because instead of saving one person, it's saving a lot of people. You are saving one person.
Yeah.
Even to, and it is what we are doing in Namibia. That is a scenario which we are going.
Yeah.
I'm telling you because I see it so many times. You cannot tell me. And I'm always complaining. I'm saying, no, guys, if you have a standard, why we cannot even apply the standard in of work?
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me we are working in the same company with Mike. Because Mike is a CEO, Mike is getting more than even 20 people in the company. Huh? And we have a cleaner who is not able even to buy what? A basket. But Mike is getting more than even to buy a what? This expenses at then every month, his salary. It's what I'm saying. And you can never have, you never saw it in Europe like this.
Yeah.
Where you find that the CEO is getting more than what? I don't know what kind of standard if we are supposed to have.
The question is the input, the kind of, what do you do? What is that you do?
Yeah, what exactly?
That really has that so much impact on our lives. For you to get that much amount of money.
To get over that much,
Well, what is that you do that is so, so significant? And sometimes even the doctor now who cures diseases and things like doesn't get that much amount of money.
What kind of special school would you went for you or what kind of degree we have?
No.
What is killing us? And those people, some of them, they're not even performing, man. You know what? I'm telling you. Look at even like a trust manager. You look at what's going on.
Yeah,
now you see the people who are getting more money, but the company is going in down.
Yeah, there must be some kind of threshold in those companies to say that the government set, especially in government status, parastatals. You know, some kind of threshold. An institution cannot just decide.
In the group of work.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, we are all artisans, Mike. You can be every 20 years experience. Maybe the difference can be like a 5K. But seriously, my friend, you are somewhere about 25K. We are here, but we are all artisans.
Yeah.
No, man. Mm. And Mike, you find it even like now, okay, they are all doctors. But one doctor is getting more than 100 and what? 40 a month. Then the doctor was getting what, less than 20.
Yeah, now we're going somewhere else. All right.
Let me conclude now.
Yeah.
You see, Mike, when it comes to standard, what I feel has to move forward.
Yeah.
Let us know it here, whatever they are saying.
Mm.
Because those guys, in the level where we are, they already passed more than even 40 years in the gap between us. Because we are here complaining about even clean water.
Mm.
Those guys, they deal it with clean water in 1960 or 1970. We are talking about housing problem.
Yeah.
They don't have that housing problem in their own because they already deal it with those things in 1980.
Mm.
You are talking about electricity. Every time it's on and off. Those guys, they already passed those stage. They are talking about even like a flying
station. Even when you guys complaining when you are when you are complaining that you are on and off, this is a reliability of networking. You see, it's a reliability of network. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's a reliability how reliable network is.
Reliable the network which you have.
Yeah.
And now that you want to compare yourself to have the same standard with the European, how? What I'm telling you, I know we have to deal according to our situation where we find ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
Okay, cheers.
Yeah. Very good morning to you. You're most welcome to come through as well. We're talking about now. All right. Good morning. Welcome to
morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Standard.
That you has see, become, actually, that has become more, that's more problematic than tariff.
Look, sometimes we should also understand as Africans.
Yeah.
Look, those people put up those regulations to save something for us even, if we don't know. You see, it's just like when we were young in the villages.
Yeah.
They might tell you that during, you cannot eat these wild berries in the night.
Yeah.
Something might happen to you. You see, but now they are eating. The kids of nowadays are eating. Or you cannot point at the graveyard like this with your finger.
Yeah.
You see? Those are just the standards which you obeyed, and there was a reason behind that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is just like this. Procedures, how you import meat, if you want to catch fish, you must have permit and so. It's just for us. Look, if you go maybe in the north,
yeah,
will you see a springbok or a kudu?
Definitely
not even a rabbit.
Yeah.
You will not. You see now, you will not see it. Now, at least sometimes if they could have left it like that. Now they came with this trompy hunting. You see?
Yeah.
Now to us, if they find you, they say you are a poacher or illegal hunting because they know you can massacre even 20 springboks at the same time, just like that.
Because you are just after one thing, actually, exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
And you want to be proud. He's proud. When you go home, they say that one is a hunter.
Yeah.
You don't think about, I must also live for tomorrow.
It's actually not proud that it's a hunter. It's because you're hungry. You're one that...
No. It's not hungry. Look, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You might see this like these hunters in the villages.
Yeah.
He might kill a small springbok.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow he will come, pretend like using the sound of a small springbok to lure the mother. You see? And kill the mother as well.
Yeah.
He will come and lure the father also, the male springbok, and kill it as well. The whole generation is gone.
Yeah, depleting everything. Yeah.
Yes, knowing that there is no fruit. I'm telling you, in the villages, I know, they might kill even 3 kudus at the same time by then. That meat will just get rotten and so on. You know exactly that one kudu, at least finish that one within 2 weeks, then again. But to us, once it is there, you will just kill.
Yeah.
Even in the river, that person will not just say, okay, let me kill, just catch 4 fish is enough for today. As long as he get it, he can come with a drum he can kill even hundreds. You see, those are the things also sometimes.
But how come that actually now, for example, where we export our product, are the one who are actually asked us, you must actually save your forest.
What I'm saying, there are two things.
Yeah.
You see, to them, if they don't want you to be like them.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That is the first point. They know exactly that. If they just let everyone sell his beef, you see, you might end up not buying in their shops. Yeah, because the black market, someone can just be there and say, oh, no, you are going in ShopRite. Okay, here also, I also have my butchery here. You see? And it's just to prevent their people. Remember that most of the shops are here. Are owned by, you see, foreign people from Europe and America and so forth.
Yeah.
Let me say whites. Let me just put it like that. It's not about that. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Now, for them now, they want to put that when you come and buy, your brother must be employed there and so forth. There are many things involved. Now, to us, we don't even, if we could have learned about that before, we could have established ourselves also. Say, okay, look, let us educate our people.
Yeah.
You see, let us save our environment, our wild animals, our forestry. You see, let us put our fish, our marine, let me say, let us put up these standards also, these procedures, so that those people can see also that, no, we can also think beyond them or like them.
Yeah.
We can also, how can I say, protect our environment like them. We can also protect our things like them. But what we did is we failed to do that.
Yeah.
What we did is we just adopted whatever they put on the table. For us, it's just like this foreign investment. We just say, okay, what? Job creation. We just rely on that one. Remember, if you go in the village, first even the elders, they will ask you, where do you work?
Yeah.
You see? They will not consider what do you own, like cattle. Okay, now, those days, but now, you can just say, no, I own 50 cattle, and this one saying that, no, I am a CEO in a company or whatever. Whether he brings something at home or not, people will look at that one because he's a CEO. But if you can compare, this one is someone who is on himself, who is doesn't need to be told what to do. You see?
Yeah, but so when do we reach that moment where we actually direct our own direction, if you like, you know? So where we not, because we will keep on like, you know, we only fulfill, comply to what, you know, to what European, American and China actually wants, because we want to trade and they are in the driving seat. When do we come to the point where we in the driving seat?
You see, sometimes, look, it's just, we must merge the leadership. Let me say, traditional political leaderships and those entrepreneurs, they have to come together at least to sit and look at this and say, no, why should we just always be told what to do? It means that, like, we are employees or maybe slaves again. We are not free or independent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because once you are independent, your mindset should be independent first, should be free. You must think for yourself, do things on your own way or the way you want it to be. Not being just told what to do or being, how can I, forced to follow their rules and regulations. Then you are not free at all. You see, what they should do is to put up, to say, look, let us also identify projects in the villages, in the rural areas. Let us educate our people. You see, how to save our environment. Okay, we cannot say that, no. For example, in Zambezi and Karango River, or here along the coast, we cannot say the blacks cannot fish, but let us tell them how to do it. Fish farming, how to do it. Let us educate them. Then we put our own regulations and rules.
There's quick commercial coming up, and then maybe you can round off.
Sharp.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etetaweza ko ombunikire ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no masa ko murungu wa indu. Werire ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba. Una oviune vya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe stoo. Twika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yopianja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente omurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente omirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze mulongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba kekute oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba omoronga minu uyebu haka enina. Itaku na wina rishangita chino.
No. All right.
Yeah, yes. No. Yeah. What I'm saying is really our leaders should just come together also and sit around the table and look in around this issue.
Yeah.
Later on, I'm telling you, we will, it's not to say we are already decolonized systemically, mentally, let me say mentally.
Yeah.
Because what we believe is if we don't follow this, we will not go anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look at, my brother mentioned that guy who wanted to do this Ngongo oil or whatever, cooking oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, it's not the minister or the government never wanted that, but the requirement, you see, because they must also follow those procedures, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But if they could have established something to say, look, although you cannot go this way, but there is another way here.
There's already procedures that are there. When before you even start, I know what to do. You know? Yeah.
In the villages, if you go to Mahangu field, there were two ways or three where you can follow. You can take this one or this one. If not this one, you take the other one.
Yeah.
You see, they could have said, look, okay, for us to see, just sell it at least on a domestic, at a domestic market.
Yeah.
Start with maybe, okay, let us test it. It's fine with the ministers buying, procuring from you, like the minister of defense, the minister of defense, health, education, and so forth. You see, just let us see first. If it is now, you see, sometimes we can also, that guy is supposed to create employment or even create a market where people can also say that, no, in Namibia, there is this called Ngongo oil. You see, at least now that guy, that gentleman's, how can I say now, dream is shattered down.
It's shattered completely. Down. Yeah.
And there are people who wanted to follow him. They say, what will it help? You see, we don't know how much did he invest. It just went to waste like that. Because of those standards, because of our leaders failing to sit and also implement some laws to say that, or to look in the issue to say, look, we are free. We got our independence to govern ourselves. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Let us also put up our rules and procedures. Let us also consume what we produce. You see, we cannot just consume what we don't produce, but produce what we don't consume. It is not. Yeah, that is the problem. I think it's not just like talking. The leaders must come together and solve the issue as soon as possible for us to understand and to know that really we have leaders. It's not just talking. Mm-hmm. Leaders must come up with strategic ideas and plans.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look at Vision 2030. It's just 4 years.
Mm.
Have we achieved?
Exactly.
What? They said it, but nothing at all. Maybe let us talk about Vision 55.
Yeah.
2055, which I don't think me and you maybe we can be, we will see it or not. I don't know.
All right, okay. Man.
Thank you.
Great. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. We come into you live from the Ondangwa studio if you want actually to reach us. So, and we're talking about standards. All right. So, you can come through. Let me just, I didn't completely finish what I was also, you know, talking about. So I think this conversation, well, it's not just about Namibia, really. It's about the future of, when you look at that, it's also about the future of globalization itself. So that's shipping container, Malcolm McLean, invented in the 1950s. You know, it democratized global trade. And it didn't matter if you were, you know, a giant corporation or a small businesses, if you could actually fill that container, you could ship anywhere in the world. But technical standard, you know, the non-tariff measures are recreating barriers. We've seen that there are even examples that are given now by some callers now. We have even seen it in our, Mandu may make an example of a red line. It's exactly that. So they're recreating barriers. So they are making trade expensive again. And they are favoring countries, you know, with deep pockets and sophisticated bureaucracies, you know. So yes, regulations and as the previous caller mentions that, you know, that sometimes is to protect. We're not saying it's not really to protect. It's to protect our deforestation, our forest, that it don't be deforested. It's also protecting our dolphins when it comes to other regulations from the state. So yes, but there's also a component to that. So as I said, they are favoring countries with deeper pocket and sophisticated bureaucracies. Okay. So, and the article say non-tariff measures now affect 90% of our global trade. So, and this is up from the 15% 3 decades ago. So the massive shift, it's a massive shift. So, and it is reversing decades of progress towards open markets, you know. So somehow they have to find a way to do that. And the irony is that we spend years negotiating trade agreement to lower tariffs. Now, to lower tariff a few percentage point. Then we turn around and introduce a technical regulation to have the same effect as of the 20% or 30% tariff. Even worse, it's even worse because at least with a tariff, you can still actually sell your product. With failed certification, if you don't have that certification, you are shut out entirely. So you understand? So if we care about globalization, so if we care about giving development countries a fair shot at prosperity, I think we need to tackle this issue ahead on. And in our countries as well, in domestically, we also need to tackle this issue head on. So we need to tackle this issue head on. So just quickly to round off what we talked about on this issue. So, yeah. So first is that, and you're most welcome to come through. The biggest threat to global trade is not tariff anymore. So it is technical standards, rules about safety, environment, product specifications. So those are the threat now to global trade. So they have exploded. They have now exploded in the past 25 years, and they are hitting development country hardest. So most of the countries that are affected by these rules, by these product specifications and environment and all that, it is the developing countries. Now, secondly, these standards affect products. They affect products in Namibia's. Affect product Namibia depend on beef, fish, agriculture, good. The EU new deforestation rules, and the Americans now marine mammal protection requirements are real challenges we are facing right now in 2026. So those are real challenges that we are actually facing right now, and they're affecting our beef, our fish, our agricultural food. So thirdly, is the cost of compliance. The cost of compliance is crushing for developing countries, according to these articles. We lack the auditors, we lack the testing facilities, we lack the bureaucratic infrastructures, we lack that actually countries, the rich countries actually sometimes take it for granted. So we lack all that. So, and a certification that costs, say for example, a certification that costs Germany, a company, a few thousand dollars, can cost a Namibian company hundreds of thousands. So that's not a playing field. And fourthly, all standards are protectionist. But the timing and implementation often suggest that protecting domestic industries is part of the agenda. When standards tighten right after import surges, you have to wonder. You really have to wonder. So, and we need to track approach long term. Namibia, we need to developing country, we need to track approach. One, long term one, where we build capacity, train expert, and participate in standard settings. We need to be on the table ourselves. And the short term one, the short term approach, which now we should be able to demand technical assistance to be able to comply, financial support, and realistically timelines for our trading partners. So I think we need those two-track approach to be able to achieve what we need to achieve. And finally, this is just, it's not just about trade policy. It's about whether globalization continue to offer opportunities for countries like Namibia, so or whether it becomes a club for a wealthy few countries. I want to hear from you. I still want to hear from you. Maybe you are a farmer dealing with these export regulations. So how do they affecting you? Or maybe you are a business owner struggling with certification costs. Okay, how does it affect your business doing business in Namibia? So someone who thinks these standards are absolutely necessary, like more or less the previous caller who said, well, these standards are absolutely necessary. Well, Colin, let's keep this conversation going. Let's keep the conversation going. And remember, informed citizen make a better decision. When you are informed, you make a better decision. A better decision build a stronger Namibia. All right? So that's why we do this. So that's why you should be coming through as well. 0833-66091. You're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your contribution. 0833-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Tseithane na omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma onora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, sir.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Hmm.
I want to ask you, there is no Eagle FM working or not, or what?
Where is there? Where is where?
Here in Windhoek.
It's working. It should be, you should be hearing it, yeah. Is it off?
Yeah, it's off.
It has been, just hold on, eh? There's an advertisement coming up now. Just hold on.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm seeing
it. Yeah, no, I think we had this morning, I think we had a little bit of a problem where it comes in and goes out. So right. You might have been at the point where it was out because it has been, the frequency has been in and out. So probably that would have been the problem. Yeah.
Oh, no, they are still to fix.
Yeah. So, but if I think it was on now, if you try again, probably you'll be able to hear that. Yeah. Someone complained as well earlier, but yeah. So they are attending to that. All right.
Okay. Even I'm trying now and I need the car, but there is nothing.
Oh, even on?
I'm trying now and I need the car, but nothing. Talking anything.
Oh, nothing is coming through. Okay. Maybe they're still actually working on it. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mm. All right, so we hope that we're still actually working on that. It looks like that the frequency in Windhoek, it's also coming in and it's in and out. So hopefully that's get fixed. Yeah. All right. So let's. Yeah, we have been looking at this. At this story, and what we have given it quite enough time, you know, you're most welcome to come through and have your say on that as well. So let's move to, there's still another second story that I wanted to touch on. We still have about how many minutes? Still about 13 minutes or so. That's still enough to cover Because this one is also very, 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 or should I leave it for tomorrow and just focus on finishing this? No, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Yeah. If somebody comes in, the other thing is that, let's unpack this one. It's also a major play. It's a major story as well, playing out on the world stage. It's about the United States and China now, and their race for Africa's minerals. So the very minerals that, especially those minerals that that power your phone, that your car, and our future, really. So now the big news is that the U.S. is hosting a huge meeting in Washington. Now, the huge mission, the huge meeting in Washington, they have invited the leaders of some African biggest mining nations. Now, we're talking about Democratic Republic of Congo, talking about Kenya, we're talking about Guinea. So they have invited those countries. And why they have invited those countries is because they want to make a deal. They want to make a deal. We probably later on, we never know, maybe Namibia will be also invited, just mentioning a few. So they want to make a deal. They want to break China's. The whole point is also, this deal is not just, well, the whole thing is just, they want to break China's stronghold on African resources. So they see that China have a stronghold on African resources. So, and they want a piece of that. You know, China can't just have everything. So we want to have a piece of that. So what does this mean for us here in Namibia, for example? So are we just spectators, or are we part of this game? That is what we are unpacking now. So that's what we need to look at. Now, let's break it down what is happening, okay? So now, for years, China has been dominating player, has been a dominating player in Africa mining. Now they have been investing heavily and building relationship and securing minerals they need. Yeah? They have been securing minerals they need to fuel their massive economy. So we're talking about now cobalt, for example, from the DRC for batteries. We're talking about iron ore from Guinea for steel, and so much more. Okay. So now the United States is saying, wait a minute. Eh? Wait a minute. They see how dependent the world is on China for these critical minerals. So they see that the world actually dependent, especially for those critical minerals, to China. So, and they don't like it. They don't like it a minute. They see it as a risk to their economy and their security. So they are making a big move. So they said, we can't let that happen. And you see that all what is happening to America. And America is being strategic, whether you like it or not. You know, even when you talk about, you know, talk about Greenland, talking about the country in South America, where the president was actually adopted, Venezuela. Talking about Venezuela, talking about Palestine. You know, these are strategic moves that America is actually making. So. Yeah, and yesterday we talked about piece of and a former U.S. official, now a big player in the mining industry, put it plainly, he put it plainly, and he said Washington wants to partner with Africa, with African countries that have what he called a bankable project. You know, they want to partner with countries that have a bankable project. So that means project that makes solid business sense. You know, those days the model is just, okay, we give you money, develop your, you know, developing money or and grants and, you know, But now they're looking at, mweturira nale, you know. Now we're looking for the bankable project, solid business sense, a project that make a business sense, that have a solid business sense. So they want reliable, investor-friendly environment. So the message is simple. Show us your minerals. Show us a solid plan to make money. And we, the United States, and our companies will come and do business with you. Well, it sounds very business-like, a business way of doing things. So we saw this in action just recently. Now, the DRC government handed over a detailed data on their cobalt and copper reserves to the U.S. authorities. Now, they are putting their card on the table, hoping to attract now the American investment. So even Kenya, with a new massive gold discovery, is getting on the action. So the U.S.-China rival is playing out right there on African soil. So, yeah, but let's bring it home. Let's come home. What does this mean for us? You know, what is for Namibia? Okay, why are we interested in this? Well, we are a mining nation. It's in our blood. It is in our blood. We are mining nations. So our economy depends on it. We depend on mining. We have a world-class diamond mines. We are a major supplier of uranium. So, and we know we have significant potential for rare earth minerals and lithium. And lithium is normally that's required for batteries. So the stuff needed, these are the stuff needed for the green energy revolutions. So we got what they want. Okay? So we got what they want. Now, so the question is, well, the question is not if Namibia is on the radar, you know, the question is, how do we play our hand? Okay? How do we play our hand in this new great power competition? Yeah? So that's the question. So how do we do that? Right now, we have partners from all over the world in our mining sectors. We have companies from China, from Canada, from the UK, from South Africa. It's a mixed bag. All right? So let's have a caller quickly. A very good morning.
Yes, Michael.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know where the caller is listening from Windhoek, but I'm also in Windhoek, but you can hear you properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah. So.
Yeah, maybe it's just, I don't know. Yeah, but actually, the radio is, it's loud and clear.
Okay, no, that's good. No, thanks, man.
Yeah, so I can't say anything now because we are running out of time. Maybe I'll bring it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, sure, thanks.
Because the thing is that America, they realize that they are losing a lot.
And you know what I said earlier when we talked, and I said we are not strategic enough. You know that this we're seeing it from America. They realize it's ahead of us in terms of a competition. So we need to come up with a different strategy. So that's not what we do as African. We sit and wait.
Wait.
Yeah, America doesn't wait. They put up a different strategy, and that's what you see. Yeah?
And it is what I was saying, that, you know, Africans are supposed to be demanding what we want now. Because this war, trade war, which is between America and what?
Exactly. It put us in a situation where we are the one who said, this is what we want. If you're not, I have another one who is actually, you know, need the same thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
But are we ready? Are we ready? That's the question, you know?
The thing is that we don't want to, and the other country, what they are doing, even now, they are going through a tough time for their generation to be where they are, to be well off.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be starving. That's the problem of Africa.
Yeah.
And this is where we are getting everything wrong.
All right.
Because the moment we don't want to take that vacation where you say, no, enough is enough. Let me just go on the bed hungry.
Yeah.
So the next tomorrow generation, at least they know that there was people here.
In Namibia, we won't even go bed. We won't even go to bed hungry. We won't even go, you know. It's just that we mess up our own resources, you know. We're handing it, you know, for free to some other people and get peanuts. So,
I'm telling.
All right. Thanks for coming through. So, as I said, we have companies from China. Right now, we have partners from all over the world in our mining sectors. We have companies from China, Canada, from UK, from anywhere, from South Africa. As I said, it's a mixed bag. So, yeah, now the US is knocking on the door with a very specific offer. Okay? It's not about aid. It's about business. Pure and simple. Now, they want commercially viable partnership. Are we ready to do that? And that, as I said, that's actually presented with a massive, massive opportunity, but also a serious challenge as well. So, and this is where I want you here. I want to hear from you, not anymore. It's a time. So, all right. So actually, that brings us to the end of the show today. And these are really sometimes tough questions with no answers, you know, but they are questions we must ask. So as we wrap up today's segment, let's leave you with, you know, with what? I'm leaving you with Mr. Nalovanda? Nalovanda, Mr. Nalovanda is here. Yeah, so he's right here. So the global race for Africa's mineral is on. So, and it's heating up fast. So the US is making a direct aggressive challenge to China dominance now. And the rules of engagement are changing. The US is shifting from aid to business. So they are looking for a bankable project and investor-friendly partners. This is will test how we manage our own resources. So, all right, the choice is ours. Ultimately, it's ours. In the end, the choice is definitely ours. And let's choose wisely. So, and my dear people, my dear listeners, and that brings us to the very end of Unpacking the Day today. I will leave you in the hands of a capable man, the man they call Tate Nalovanda. So he's right here. He has arrived already. Good morning, Tate. How are you?
Fine, Tate Maiga.
Ungulo wandishi?
Ayo ngulo inenyenga mpolo.
Nenyenga mpolo. Yoko ni ngira shikiano nana?
Mpolo yomaneka kwa liyanyengwa kongula. Pendu kongula demuru tatikanwa.
Taipeni ne? Tapijikula
kifilo? Takaronga ilonga ya yoko afeke kanjabanga wali noka na mumbo.
Iya.
Noka mbakai.
So
the bizoteli mane wai.
Oye keno kambwa?
Mhm.
So shotashi tinge ipine baby.
Aye, shotashi chege kucha, shata kuchonguli ne nyanga mporo kapena shimwe tashi nyenge moruto.
Yeah.
Nando ta mwenyengesha, aye twende kirengo kitakudia.
Aha.
Eh.
Amanda che kala kutakudia shasha mandike ndiriko.
Mhm. And yeah.
Kwinyo kuya june, nando ta kudia shasha mokuliko.
Yeah.
Oh, kuliko ho.
Amene shindiri nawa.
Yeah.
Hanu ya alo mbure ngini mawati ngina ntima.
Kuna ntima? Oh.
Handi ubege ngende mwono mga. Hame ngina mba anga ini maka. Handi ukima kunye.
Oh. Ay, ove mbori ae. You know, ocho nongkru kati mbura takara ika atira kucha. Hey, mane ishi popcha hapa. Katika shudamu wali.
Hame ni ale porobele
mani. Kwa radio.
Ndilonde onde.
Hey.
Hame mba anga ya anuami. Ameni mandi yange koko yoke mwamene ipite mweke nikale koposa.
Oh yeah. Neno tunu nepo shige?
Nena watu kapo pisa kovaru menu.
Yeah.
Wanale. Na wasama neo kwali hawa pange mofuka.
Mm-hmm.
Mwafimbo apita. Paifa anu atu pangene me doropa mama ushimba.
Fuka ya tuwane ndishi paifa?
Hei, wambu ina kurugati. Yetu kakwa ina kurugati.
Wambu ina kurugati?
Onu shika mono shimari wa.
Yeah.
Kambela kaya fuka kakandona.
Hei.
Punya punya.
Okay, nalo kwa hape teresi kene kwa fuka?
Ah, mashini ya keno maatimu ya.
Oho.
Hei, nifitu kuti.
Osho itatushi yere kengone kucha. Puna ngoma mwe hama ni disipaife odoro pane osiku ushimbone.
Ota vetelele ngope dota ditarika niko vene tatana.
Aha.
Ngoma rupesha menu varifu.
Iya.
Na kuruka jia tusha keneke na wako shilongo.
Iya. So pa ngeno ne pefimbole tulopaife to shifa fani fana sike. Monkalo umuane.
Okutala.
Puna ngoma ine umikalo di mwengashe topo pikucha. Ufita o meme. Iya.
Uja paife.
Eh.
Pakonde kwa kujo. Kwa ambo defene editu na pefe doshimari wachatu tata eliko.
Yeah.
Aisha puiliko olo litukwe tenai. Ngengo tomo noshimari wapefe. Asiduliko ya juanga no unji.
Yeah.
Ni kefo tofutuwa igende nando use. Poneleke kwa hiyo ngeri mari wa shike fashina iko mbili.
Yeah.
Tuwaleke kunyo kuna shike shiko kwa kuna shike shike. Eshi ngota shike ya pene kukitadika pandwa. Peno meina afuta. Pena ongala mwiki. Anu wapu pifuta along mbege ko komba daewa nde dalonda.
Yeah.
Shashini maita vitu la mwini meke unyuni.
Yeah.
Wapu mwike wote wata tokwali haiko langi. Pifimbo shatu kefuka.
Yeah.
Ndo hati koneko fadite ndadia jego imariwa. Ne njema doa piroko tuatu liege miumbu. Shaya hapo ushe ucho shikondo boroshe hapo. No kando na udi deita vimbi kuchari. Yali wakamati kawa no kambike lake giro kwetela. Yali mofo de imamu.
Yeah.
Paifese O hatuto ndokele ke shake wa long toka taroto uyo
yeah
otu wake shino propatika ote male big a bigger oven
yeah.
A bigger oven
yeah
I kolo diteke ka okango begege libe toche ko ni mario ndopene ka batu yango afaso afirwa meme we i mario we na ndeka pena wala kulandi
yeah paife obsession and I pula ku changeno kuyere kangone ku cha onkalo wetu kulu anakwe hani ngandi
si
ya Monkalo wetu pene shashi katunali nana onkalo wakushuna nana. Puna ngini maya tuduru kukufako.
Mm-hmm.
Maro puna onkalo utetika tuduru wali nana kushuna firufiru kwa kini mainyikuru. Si kwa tele au kuchoturi peni paifu. Paifu ngeno okuyele kangone kucha. Monga lo mutuli paife. Modern time amutuli paife.
Mm-hmm.
Okuwa nifapo onkalwe ikulu ongeto ningingano gano.
Ndikupa shuwa pene ma
yeah.
Shia tutongo kwa ngaro ikuruka kune tungwali tungwale na foundation
yeah.
Fione na shia pende ninga hatu jenye kama mumbo nari hatu lieni uyu ni ongo tulieni ongo kuru ongo ajion anuwa kuru
yeah.
Nde tuwete ketwa fatpa shenjo tuwete ketwa ya kunyu nyumu
yeah.
Shekat people anungara mui
mm-hmm.
Nenane oruendo ngo latumba ndekali nakutari unuwa wina kwa terelasha
yeah.
Oilumbo pwikarete ningine na mutare ne dilata dia nashike. Oikorelela kwa watamekele.
Yeah.
Esha nudwetetero marushe nanga viko era ku Thomas edition. Ita dipo muvoka shapovota modify kana kukila. Shoshu wetu ntoti hakalene yamenene.
Yeah.
Kutoka pulora ita go familia. Pwife shene katuneta meko, shekatune huliro.
Yeah.
Umba pile keveliopo. Ela la kanu shweta pete poroka la madilinga opi ongene kucha. Tunaku kwa tana wangeti. Komesho tunaku ya kongeti. Hatu wale katu iku femwe nyo. Hatu wale kesho. Hatu tino utahuma komesho. Hatu wale kina tujale emu ya. Hatu wale ketu liye kopo kuchashanta monoshimari. Wanikaro ngeke. Ofureta tifuto mayo vyo mirongo mbali. No katu wakari. Pondemo familio ya nova epe.
Yeah.
Uponeleneo kuchashikiti druka dengero kabashu. Oye imakange mwene ndetake yango vyo pongatu. Ifolo mifami mwene karandu pele. Sa wangende ningonele.
Okapashu itaka ulike kuchondri pondo dopo yo, you know, I'm a...
Oshike tashiku ulike kuchondri. Yoyo ne udeko para.
I'm a senior manager mo institution. Ngeengo, na nifika karari mo kapashu.
Ono ngeengo hadi omene njia tahiti kuchai. Nakalena o kapashu. Shashi oyo nukwa chandara tutaleni.
Uh-huh.
Openo ngana mwenyo teituweke teivilima. Ndomo uina ya yoma hapu.
Yeah.
Shosho hango nukeshe umwe kefimbari shon mkulike mengo dina hafa. E lulu sapu yangeli. Numono maso ulimari wano. Ndo hato ndo kika kari yeno na nuwe nyave na narita fula hili pomba dahalongo shimari wake fiku walongo mawe vyo mirongo mbali mefiku.
Yeah.
Sita kufa mwete yamu.
Yeah.
Paifo otruwa ni pia kapovo to kufa kwa ike marita kuyashi.
Yeah.
Mule kewe duladili mbali ilo dole imwe iko wa shota
wa
obo watame ka uka korukanda kunyakwali no hali yopo before van yoyo nungkaro iti inatukala tu wapalele nyo andimwe ilo tufafanifenye ngana mwenye onde tunapina tudipiru wa kukarunga e, nando olie vando to druga ro shingyo tuweki nando umene nja penyo ulipo tungo mokambanyo ulipo mbada to druga ro dipo bashinde fieke to tungo ndetwe dileva kwenu
yeah.
E, shosho nepucha paife nga utunano vamwe ya veano komo umba huileke medoropa eto tale ndinga site yapo ibiro yabo opo muntile nde akana ngalake kumaika kongwediva nde kumbwa sidulika katuna komitara o ongalo ne ilinga otuvawa koma rupesha tutalika ndipi pirine onga
ya opo na olia olia no mbe ngalo atati kucha singo komba de singo tuntalenga mara kwa sikwinya
ai etangala forotela konanga kesha makufa mutalike kwata.
All right, my dear listeners, yeah. I will leave you in the hands of that Nalumanda. And so from me, Michael Chevalier, let's talk to each other again. Let's see each other tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM. So goodbye for now.